946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger on a beautiful Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock, only 1 hour left in the work week. And I usually say, you know, hopefully you got some good plans for the weekend, but I would say, you know, at this time of year in the summer, I'm guessing all of you have good plans of some kind during the weekend. This is just a perfect time to get out and do whatever, you know, either vacation, staycation, cleaning up the house, doing the yard work, getting out with your kids at a ball game, whatever the case might be, enjoy your weekend. Let me mention this. I just spur the thing off the top of my head. I'll get to a real good baseball topic here in a second. I'll see some things sometimes like, 24-hour day. You sleep 8 hours a day. A lot of people sleep more than that, 9 or 10. You work 8 hours a day. It only leaves a short amount of time. I'm going to get pretty deep here for a second, so think about this. It only leaves a short amount of time to enjoy life. How many of you take an appropriate amount of time to enjoy life? Like, whatever it is. You know, it can be anything that you do to enjoy life. Some people love mowing the yard on their time off to enjoy life. But how many of you truly do take some time every day or some time throughout the week to enjoy life? Because it's hard. I'll be honest with you. It's very difficult when you're working, you got kids, family, responsibility, bills, all that stuff. So Friday at 4 o'clock, you got another hour for the work week. Enjoy life. Enjoy the weekend. Again, just kind of one other aspect of this. I used to think work was life. That could not be the furthest thing from the truth. Work is not life. If you depend on work for your identity, and I did this for a long time, I really did. You know, hey, you're Corey Geiger, you're the sports writer. Well, you know, it kind of becomes who you're known for, or whoever you are. Hey, you're Joe Schmo, you're the insurance salesman, you're Joe Lunchbucket, you're the guy that does construction. If your job defines who you are, then I truly do wonder if you're enjoying life, really. Because, hey, a job is a job. And there are employers all over this country that you might think that everything you have is tied to them. But if they need to move on from you, they'll do it in a heartbeat. So, anyway, that has nothing to do with anything I was going to discuss. But it's Friday. It's 4 o'clock. Get out and have some fun in life. 946-0435. That's the number if you'd like to join us. I got a very good baseball question I'm going to ask you in just a second. We've had a lot of fun this week, baseball week, as I called it. We've had nothing but baseball topics each and every day. First, the news of the day, Paul Skenes will start the All-Star game for the National League, which is just awesome. He has started only 11 games in the major leagues, and he is already the best pitcher in baseball. Anybody want to challenge that? 6-0, 190 ERA. Pretty darn amazing what Paul Skenes has been able to do. He has the most strikeouts with a sub-2 ERA through 11 starts ever since they began calculating that in 1913. Ever. It's 111 years. Paul Skenes has the most strikeouts. 89 strikeouts in 66 and a third innings. Only 13 walks. Man, oh man. That's the most ever through a sub-2 ERA through 11 starts in MLB history. So pretty amazing. Yesterday, Paul Skenes threw 7 no-hit innings. There were some people who were a little up in arms that he didn't get a chance to finish off to try to complete a no-hitter because he was at 99 pitches and he was pulled. I am not one to champion pitch counts at a crazy level. I question pitch counts, the modern era of baseball, about as much as anybody. But in that situation yesterday, it would have been foolish for him, for the Pirates, to have allowed Paul Skeens to chase a no-hitter for 9 innings. Because, now look, well, hey, guys, you always throw no-hitters at 130, 140 pitches. Okay. Times have changed. We're not going to see 130, 140 pitches ever again on any kind of consistent basis. Maybe every now and then somebody might do it. We're never seeing that again. There's too much money involved in these arms. Arms are too valuable. And the thinking is at 95 to 100 pitches, the body, the physiology starts to break down in a way that cannot be compensated for. So Paul Skeens at 99 pitches, if he had gone through 8 innings, I would be sitting here saying, hell yeah, give him a shot in the ninth to try to complete a no-hitter. And if that means he gets to 110, 112, you know, can he get through one inning in 11, 12 pitches? Sure, give him a shot. If he's 110, I think he's built up for that. I think he went 105, 106 the last time out. But the fact that he was only through 7 innings at 99 pitches, he was going to need probably 20 to 35 more pitches, you would think, at least, because of the pressure and high. It was a 1-0 game, too. Very, 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 very high leverage. You know, it wasn't a 7-0 game where you could afford to, you know, mess around. In a high leverage situation with already the best pitcher in baseball, this guy, as long as he stays healthy and continues this kind of velocity, he is going to be an absolute stud and superstar for a long time. So, no, I really don't have any issue pulling him at that stage. Now, again, everything in baseball is a discussion. If it had been 8 innings and he was at 99 pitches, okay. You agree, disagree with that? You can let me know, 946-0435. Here is my baseball question for you. Here's my baseball question for you. Dan's calling in. Dan, if you're calling in, listen, maybe to talk about something else, listen to this as well. What kind of baseball fan are you today in 2024? What does professional baseball mean to you right now at this stage in your life as a fan compared to what it used to mean? You follow my line of thinking here? Maybe you're still a gigantic fan, watch the Pirates every day or listen to them on the radio every day, watch the Yankees or Red Sox, whoever, Nationals, Orioles, whoever it is you root for, Phillies, and you're still a huge baseball fan and you've never lost that love or passion for baseball. If that describes you, call in and tell me why. If you're the complete opposite, and this would describe me, I used to be an enormous baseball fan in my teens and 20s, man. I never missed a Cubs game on TV, never missed the Major League All-Star game. Just absolutely loved baseball. I watched every game I could for the Cubs. I learned everything I could about baseball. What you do in this situation or that situation, it was just amazing to me. It was the connection I had with my dad. I played baseball for as long as I could till the game kind of spat me out. Here I am 30 years later, I will not watch a Major League Baseball game. I will not. I might catch a little bit here and there. I'll watch the Pirates a little bit here and there, watch some highlights. I follow it. I follow the news. I see highlights. I'm not watching a game. I have not watched a full Major League Baseball game since 2015, when the Pirates lost in the wild card game. I was there covering that game for the Mirror in 2015. That's the last complete nine-inning baseball game that I watched, my major league game. Now, I still covered the Curve for a number of years, watched the Curve, enjoyed covering the Curve. They won a championship in 2017. That was an amazing experience for everybody around here to go through. But how does somebody like me go from enormous fan 30 years ago, never missing any game on TV, to I won't even watch a major league game now? I won't. The game does not interest me to a very high level with the things that I'm looking for in baseball. So if you want to jump in on that, what kind of baseball fan are you today? 946-0435. We've got Dan up first. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Real good, Corey. You know, I hope these young kids stay hydrated and things with this tournament going on and everything, because it's brutal. It's brutal.
Let me say something about that. You're mentioning the Altoona Baseball Classic. Taking place at Centennial Field, home of the AIYBL, and it's very, very hot. And I can relate to what you just said very specifically, Dan, not just this tournament, because there are all-star tournaments being played all around the region. Little League season is over for pretty much everybody, so kids are in all-star tournaments now. My son is in an all-star tournament in Williamsburg. We play tonight at 8 o'clock, and I love playing at 8 o'clock at this time of year because the sun has gone down. But your point is, when we get to this time of year and kids are still playing in July and August in these all-star tournaments, we went through this last year with my son. We were at an all-day tournament out at Bellwood. Man, it was like 92 degrees, and it was just brutal. It was just absolutely brutal. We played three games in a day. We were wiped out. The families were wiped out. It was fun. I look back on it when I was a kid like, oh, this was fun. Memories all day long playing baseball. But the reality is I'm around a lot of kids that – they kind of get sick. They get kind of punched by the heat. They've got to sit out for a few innings. And so what's interesting about growing up, about playing youth sports here, especially baseball, Dan, you start in early April when it's 45, 47 degrees. And you got to play baseball in 45 degrees. And I tell my kids all the time, you're in Pennsylvania. You got to learn to play in this stuff. But then at the end of the year in August, it's 95 degrees. And you got to learn to play in that, too. And that, look, it may sound easy that you're like, oh, well, kids are resilient. They can do what, I mean, I'm watching these kids. They're out there. They're melting. It's hard to give 100% when it's 95 degrees and you're playing your second or third game of the day. It is far more challenging. I'd like to see adults get out there and play for 7 hours in 95-degree temperature. Dan, you still with me, buddy?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, go ahead. Anyway, I probably stole what you were going to say. That was just your opening tip there. But what else you got, buddy?
Well, you semi-sold my thunder, but I'm glad you did. Now, you know, about 20 years ago, Corey, there was a real good prospect in Altoona. I think his last name was Shannon or something like that, and he almost died.
Sean Shannon was a football player at Altoona High. Yep.
You are you with me then?
I am. I remember Sean. I think I did a story on him when he was coming back a few weeks later. I think he was the offensive lineman from what I remember, and he had a real health scare during a game.
Oh, I guarantee it. It was. I think it was. It was practice and things like that.
Was it? Okay.
And he. There were scouts looking at him. He was a prospect for sure. And, well, now, Corey, I'm an individualist now. See, now, tonight, I'm going to be caught. Now, I'm glad you mentioned I was going to ask you about your son when he was going to play. Now, I'm caught between Caitlin Clark and your son tonight.
Now, my kid doesn't play tonight. He plays out at Williamsburg. My son's game in the Park Home Altoona Classic is Sunday at 2 o'clock. He plays for Thompson's Pharmacy, and they play Greenwood Meadows from East End. So that's Sunday at 2 o'clock for anybody who wants to tune in.
And will that be with Dave Shannon?
Dave and Lou Seidel are on the call for all these games. I was listening last night during the Fiore and Cumming Motors game. Then they did MacDad and who did MacDad play? Marana Electric and Dave and Lou did a really good job. It was very entertaining.
I'm psyched about this. See, and we go back. Now I'm an individual person. See, I don't fixate on a certain team. It's individuals. Now I'm starting with like Willie Mays, you know Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and then I used to like the Boyer brothers with the Yankees, Tony Kubek, Bobby Richardson, Jim Gentile. See, these are people that I fixated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now with this Paul C. You know, he's phenomenal, and I can't get enough of him. It's just like the freak that plays shortstop or second base for the Pirates. That 6'8" or something.
6'7", O'Neill Cruz. Yep.
Yep. And you had a guest on one time, and he was on two or three days in a row, and it was absolutely fantastic. He asked you about the height, and he also asked about a left-handed player. So, see, that's what I like. Now, Cruz, I mean, he says it's not going to work out for him to a certain extent, and the Pirates are doing him a disservice. He should be out in the outfield, and absolutely right, but he's doing fairly well for the size. With that, you went over with that caller about 3 years ago.
This is the interesting component, okay? O'Neill Cruz is doing well. Is he doing as well as he would if he were not having to deal with the shortstop stuff all the time? No, I don't believe he was. At this stage right now, O'Neill Cruz batting .247 with 14 homers and, 41 RBIs. His OPS is .744. All of that is good. It's not great. You know who hits the ball harder than any player in all of Major League Baseball? Do you know, Dan?
I do not.
It's O'Neill Cruz. Like the StatCast that they have, the exit velocity, like it's filled with 112, 115 mile an hour lasers from O'Neill Cruz. And yet he's batting .247 with a .744 OPS. An 800 OPS is an outstanding Major League player. A 900 OPS is a Hall of Fame kind of player.
Now, is he hurting his shoulder and his back being that size?
No, I don't think so. I just think that, let me combine conversations here. Let's go back to the steroids era. The reason steroids were so big in baseball is because they allowed your body to perform at peak capability all the time. Well, that's not natural in baseball. Baseball players arrive to spring training in February. February. Now, they're working out all offseason nowadays, but they arrive to spring training in February. They play a month of games. They start the season late March, first week of April. Then they play for six consecutive months, 162 games. You tell me, Dan, at what point in a 162-game season do you think the average Major League player's body is no longer 100%?
Oh, absolutely. It's just like Carl Ripken.
How many games? How many games do you think it takes where a guy's body is no longer 100%?
I would say it's going to start showing here maybe about in the low hundreds, maybe.
I'll give you 15.
You play that low.
You play 15 or 20 games, there's a good chance your body is no longer 100%. Maybe you're 98%. But you took a foul ball off the ankle yesterday. You ever watch a game? You foul it straight into your ankle. You're not 100% anymore. Now you're 98%. And then you had to throw a laser from right field to the plate to cut a guy down. Maybe you won a game, but your arm's a little bit sore today. My point is, a Major League Baseball player is at 100% peak capability for a very, 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 very small portion of a season. What steroids allowed to happen is they would get your body back to 100% at all times. So even though you're fatigued in July and it's 94 degrees, you pop the steroids, you feel tremendous. Now you're going out, you're not 96%, you're not 92%, you're 100% every day. I can't remember how we got down this rabbit hole here, but the point is, that's what steroids did. Oh, yeah, we were talking about O'Neal Cruz. O'Neal Cruz is not 100%. There's no way he's 100%. Not in the middle of July. If he were playing right field and didn't have to go through all the rigor of preparing to play shortstop every single day, all the extra practice, all the ground balls, his body would be a little bit better, and so maybe he's not doesn't have a 744 OPS. Maybe he's got a 790 OPS, and instead of a 1.5 WAR wins above replacement, maybe he's got a 2.5 WAR, and he's part of the Pirates winning a couple more games. You see what I'm getting at? That's my issue with him continuing to play short.
Well, see, I appreciate it. I didn't think you'd keep me this long, but this is real fascinating.
I love this stuff because this is the misunderstanding about steroids. People think, oh, steroids, you buff up and you get stronger, and that's why it allows you to hit the home runs. Well, sure, you do get stronger. It enhances your muscles. But what it does is it gets your body back to 100%, and that's why these guys were able to, you know, once the dog days of July and August come around, it's very difficult to get out there and perform at peak capability. But when they were taking steroids, they were always at peak capability.
Okay. Now, Corey, I'm going to save this to next week because we've taken way too much time.
Good stuff, buddy.
But, Corey, okay.
All right, yeah, thank you, Dan. Good stuff, bud. That was a great discussion, really. I appreciate Dan for bringing that stuff up. Whatever you got for next week, Dan, I look forward to it. 946-0435, if you want to weigh in after this.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
This is it. Shop the Lowe's Closeout event to get up to 70% off select major appliances for your home. Plus, get up to 60% off select patio furniture and accessories for your outdoor spaces. So hurry into your local store today because these deals are too good to last. Shop them now before they're gone because Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 8/7 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Diego.
Hi, Diego. It's Jennifer Coolidge. You know, I just want to say your cashback match makes me feel so special. It really inspired me.
That's great. Doubling the cashback you've earned at the end of your first year is what we do.
Well, I'm doubling everything now. Double dating, double dipping, double feature, double header, double whammy. You know, basically double or nothing.
You earn, we match. Discover cashback match. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Soak up the savings this summer from Family Dollar. It's It's never been easier. Just download the Family Dollar app, sign up for smart coupons, and see how you can save more than ever before. Enjoy smoking hot deals on cookout classics, or get ready for outdoor fun with SPF for the whole family, plus pool toys, decor, and so much more. Check out the app today and get ready to save with the Family Dollar Summer Savings Event. New offers drop every week. Family Dollar, helping you do more.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party bar. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Hank FM.
All righty, welcome back to Sports Central. The Oakland A's are in Philadelphia this weekend for a series against the Phils. I mention that because I got a text from a buddy who is a huge Oakland A's fan. He just texted me about the A's. I'll read in just 1 second. My question for today for everybody is, what kind of baseball fan are you right now? Are you still as big of a fan as you were when you were growing up or 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 10 years ago? I've got a treat for you if we have time, depending on how many calls we get or whatever. I've got a great interview I did with Mike LaValliere. Spanky, I've never aired it on this show, but I'm going to play some of it here for you. He was behind the plate trying to make the catch on the tag on Sid Bream in 1992 for the Pirates and the slide. And we all know how the Braves and Sid Bream beat the Buccos that night, and then the Pirates had 20 consecutive years of losing. So I'm going to replay, or I'm going to play for you, I think for the first time here on this show, that discussion with Mike LaValliere, who no longer watches Major League Baseball. I did a series of podcasts a year ago. Mike LaValliere no longer watches Major League Baseball. Jack Wilson, he teaches baseball, high level, 18, 19, I think he's what works for Team USA, but he no longer watches Major League Baseball. A number of players that I had chatted with about their memories and everything, they no longer watch Major League Baseball. Well, why is that? Because it's a completely different game than it was 20 years ago. My buddy, here's what he texted me about the A's. Said, used to follow every pitch of the A's, but their owner has done absolutely everything to crush the soul of every fan who has ever liked that team, whether it's jettisoning star players for cash or literally pricing the fans out of coming to the games so that they stop coming, so you can justify moving the team to places where it's 118 degrees Sacramento and 120 degrees Vegas in the summer. He says, I'm still going to see them play in Philly this weekend and 5 games in Oakland. Here's a guy in Pennsylvania, grew up in Pennsylvania. He goes out to Oakland to watch the A's. To say goodbye, and then one more game in Chicago in September, but it's more nostalgia now and the trips. The love has been destroyed by ownership. How many of you fall into that category? That maybe you love the baseball, but the business aspects of what's happened now, certainly the A's, that's just a horrible situation they've had out there because their ballpark is terrible. They've been dangling, moving for a number of years now, and the owner doesn't seem to care. And this is what I talk about with the Pirates. I was on a show just after I got off this show yesterday. I was on the PA Sports Network with another longtime host, radio host, and he asked me about the Pirates. Should they make moves at the deadline? Kind of go all in a little bit to try to make the playoffs? And I said, no. And he was kind of surprised, and I said, he said, well, why? And I said, well, Bob Nutting. And, you know, you get down to it, and at the end of the day, if there's not a full commitment from ownership, don't ruin possibly the opportunity you might have for the next few years to chase probably a ghost this year with a wild card spot. Now, if the Pirates got into a short series in the wild card and they've got Paul Skeens and Mitch Keller, would they have a chance? Heck yeah. Heck yeah, they'd have a chance. But they're in seventh place in the wild card. They got to jump a bunch of teams. If they go out and make a trade, this is what people don't understand. The Pirates need a bat or two. They got to go get a bat or two. Well, that other team is going to want something from you. What are you going to be willing to give up? So, and to be able to get a high enough quality return, you're going to have to give up a lot. You're going to give them Jared Jones to try to go get you a bat? Jared Jones has electric stuff. He might be really good for a long time. The Pirates have a window of opportunity of about four more years, okay? So when I say no, I don't really think that they should go all in. I don't think Bob Nutting's going to go this offseason and spend the kind of money it's going to take to really enhance them. So sit back for once, just let your prospects develop. If you hang around, you could still possibly get in, but don't go trading a bunch of pieces of your future on the slim hope that you make it this year. Clarkster, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
I think standing pat, they have a chance.
Yeah, maybe they do.
I think with the pitching, you know, the hitting may come around, okay? They got a shot, and they're not that far out of it. You know, we'll see, you know, with the kid, the pitcher, you know, yes, right now, at this point in time, he may be the best pitcher. But longevity that you have to look at when it comes to, you know, the history lately is arms falling apart.
Yeah.
You know, so, and as far as following it, yeah, I used to like to watch all the games and everything. I don't do that anymore.
Why?
There's other things to do. I can follow it on the little, you know, on the cell phone.
Is it because the games are long and there's too many, or is it
no,
just
the games are actually shorter?
Is
now.
It I mean, that we've gotten older in life? We've got more things to do.
Yes, that's part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it appeals to the kids. I mean, come on. When I was a kid, you got baseball cards. You traded them. You flipped them. You put them in your hat. You know, you put them in your bicycle.
Now, I know you're even more of an old-timer than me, but I mentioned this to my intern, Nathan, a couple weeks ago. Do you remember, Clarkster, when you got ESPN in the 80s?
Oh, my God. Way back when. Yeah. I grew up sitting on the back porch.
Yeah.
Turning on the radio and getting KDKA, KMOX, you know, WGN.
And you had how many channels? How many TV channels? I know, but how many TV channels did you have?
Well, back in the day, we had 3, 6, and 10.
How many iPads did you have?
Back in the day, none.
How many cell phones did you have?
None.
What the hell did you do with your life if you weren't sitting around listening to baseball?
Well, we played. We went out and played.
Exactly, and that's a great answer. My point is, nowadays, we got a billion other things to do. How many people are sitting around listening or watching baseball for three hours when you've got so many things to do?
You only had three sports.
Yeah.
Now everything is expanded.
Do you remember when you got ESPN? Do you remember what ESPN showed all day long in the 80s?
Replayed of New England sports.
They played fitness. They remember like Jane Fonda workout kind of things. It wasn't Jane Fonda.
Yeah.
It was that dude. It was a
Debbie
fitness
Drake
guy
or somebody.
A fitness guy. They showed America's Cup.
Yeah. I know who you mean.
Remember America's Cup? Dennis Connor, the sailing event. How much America's Cup did we watch on ESPN?
Yeah, well, their big
in
thing
80s?
Is getting the Big East contract.
And also before, but hang on, I'm talking about before that. but also Australian rules football. I remember watching Australian rules football on
the
ESPN.
Guy in the trench coat.
Yeah, and the white little white coat running around doing his fingers like when they score.
Yes,
but
yes.
The point is, once ESPN got the Big East, and that helped ESPN blow up. Once we started getting every game on TV, it kind of devalued everything to me.
Yeah. Yes. Back in the day, you just got the Phillies games, and you didn't get all the games because the games that were played from the West Coast were not generally televised. You got Saturday and Sunday games in the afternoon and stuff like that. You didn't have home games televised, you know, which you'd have every game basically is on, and people can subscribe to the MLB channel and all this other stuff. MLB channel does a great job now.
Yeah.
Broadcasting games every day, so you can get to see some other players, you know, across the league. But your team now is playing some of those teams with the crossover play, you know, interleague play. Yeah, obviously things have changed. Maybe it's cheapened it, you know, or, you know, whatever. But there were a limited number of sports that you had.
Yeah, and again, the whole point is, if I'm asking you how big of a baseball fan are people now, part of the answer is I've got other things going on. I can watch anything, any game, the NFL, the explosion, the NBA explosion. Yeah. I don't have enough time for baseball anymore.
Yeah. And we brought up the other day, my perspective was paying $1.50 for, you know, general reserve seats, even as low as 50 and 75 cents for bleachers. And you not only got to see one game, sometimes you got to see two games.
How much was $1.50 worth back then? Because you say, "Oh, it's only $1.50," but I mean, was that like worth $12 an hour?
Probably eight times it. My first working, I think my hourly rate was $1.85.
Okay,
and that would have been 1965 or six.
You were happy to have it.
Well, I thought I was starting at $1.35, but before I was out the door, it was $1.85.
Can you believe, and I will make a political statement here, believe now that fast food workers make $15 an hour?
Some even more, yeah.
And we wonder why the hell inflation in this country is absurd, because we've got 17-year-old fast food workers making $15 an hour. Maybe that's a conversation for another forum.
The absurdity of this is they think that you can make a career or, you know, make a living out of doing that. You can't.
We all knew 10 years ago when the claim for $15 minimum wage, when people were talking, saying, okay, fine, we'll give everybody $15. And a bag of Oreos is going to cost $9. Well, lo and behold, what the hell has happened? We give everybody $15, $16, $17? And what does that do to inflation to everybody else?
Well, but if you're participating in the economy, that's one thing. But if you're on fixed income, now we're starting talking about senior citizens, what that does to them.
All right, we're going down the slippery slope. You have a great weekend, my man.
You too.
All right, pal. 946-0435. We'll play Spanky LaValier after this.
Reliable vehicle.
But let's face it, the economy's not great. Gas and grocery prices are sky high. Bottom line is the price. So, what do you do? You go to J&P Automart. The folks at J&P Automart know how you feel. That's why they want to give you the lowest prices possible. The bottom line price on a good used car or truck. Shop online at jmpautomart.com or come in and see the inventory in person. Ask about financing, too. Good vehicles at the lowest possible prices. J&P Automart, 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard in Altoona.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Oh, yeah, nothing like a Boswell pipe. Appreciate J.M. Boswell for being our presenting sponsor each and every day. If you're heading on over to the Altoona Baseball Classic presented by Park Home over at Centennial Field, AOIBL, be sure to enjoy the games. But if you can't get over there, Tune into our sister station 1370, and then right here on 96.1 Hank FM for all the games. Dave Shannon and Lou Seidel calling the action tonight. There are three games: Masonic Lodges from AABA versus Bergmeyer's Hauling from East End. That's at 5 o'clock. Drenning Baseball from AABA versus Dean Patterson from East End at 6:45, and then Caparuccio Plumbing from East End versus Sisto Law from AABA at 8:30. I've never played this, but this is fantastic stuff. Spanky LaValliere on the Sid Bream slide and some other stuff. Great memories here.
Very pleased to be joined today by former Pirates catcher Mike LaValliere. And I got to know, one thing I've always wanted to know, where did the Spanky nickname come from, Mike?
Well, I was playing for the Cardinals AAA team in Louisville, Kentucky, 1985. And my manager was Jim Fregosi. And he all of a sudden just said, well, you know what? You remind me of the Little Rascals character. Your nickname is now Spanky. And as well, you know, the best way to keep a nickname is to fight it. I didn't fight it, but it stuck anyway. So Jim Fregosi was the guy that called me that. That's the nickname that stuck.
Do you like it? Was it endearing for you all these years?
You know what? I guess it's one of those things that it became an acquired taste. And now just kind of I accept it. And it's actually flattering that people know me, you know, still as Spanky.
I cannot wait to hear some of your stories on this. But first and foremost, what I like to do with this podcast, Mike, is let folks know what you're doing today. Everybody knows about your baseball career. What are you up to nowadays?
Well, right now I'm pretty much enjoying my family. I'll be 62 in August, so I'm pretty much retired. I get my grandson every Thursday, enjoying him. My son and one of my daughters lives here in town, here in Bradenton. So, you know, between them, yeah, spend a lot of time with them. I get over to McKechnie Field and saw a couple of the guys that are still there. Scott Bonnet, the equipment manager, and a couple of his assistants were there whenever I was there. So did a little reminiscing last week with them.
All right. So as fate would have it, we are recording this video on April 1st, April Fool's Day. It was exactly 35 years ago today, April 1st, 1987, that the Pirates made what is widely considered their greatest trade of all time. They sent Tony Pena to the St. Louis Cardinals for Mike Dunn, Mike LaValliere, and Andy Van Slyke. And that trade helped spearhead the Buccos to the three straight playoff appearances, 90, 91, 92. Mike LaValliere, a huge part of that. Mike, or Andy Van Slyke, certainly a key part of that as well. So it's April Fool's Day, 1987. Can you walk us through, Mike, that trade, how you found out, what you knew about the Pirates? Did you think it was a joke? What was going on in your mind that day?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny about spring training, because you have all day games and you really don't really have really a clue of what day it is.
Right,
you know,
right.
Is it Monday? Is it Sunday? You know, you're really not sure about, you know, the dates other than, you know, the day that you're going to break camp. And the day started out like, you know, pretty much any other day. We had a B game scheduled in the morning for some pitchers to get some extra work. Steve Lake was our other catcher, and he was going to catch the B game, and I was going to catch the A game at Al Lang Stadium later on that afternoon. So we're all getting out to the right field line and getting loose, getting ready to play the game. And Dave Ricketts, the bullpen coach for the Cardinals at the time, comes out and, you know, tells me and Andy that we're not playing. And so I I had no clue, and you know, never really understood at the time, you know, what was taking place. Well, as soon as we get in the dugout, it's kind of like, okay, now something's going on. Steve Lake caught the 9-inning morning game, and he was going to catch the 9-inning afternoon game. So, I mean, catching a doubleheader is fairly rare, and to do it in spring training, unheard of. So at that point, it was confirmation that I'd no longer be with the St. Louis Cardinals. Andy and I were kind of sitting together for a little bit during the game and kind of trying to figure out, well, we're traded to, but, you know, who's it going to be? And so we discussed it and kind of figured, well, you know, leaving St. Louis is a pretty devastating thing. Great town, great backing from their fans. The organization was having a lot of success. So anywhere that we went, you know, it was going to be, you know, a tough deal. But we had considered two places that we didn't want to go, and it was Montreal and Pittsburgh. So Montreal for their reasons of just being out of the country, and Pittsburgh because at the time they were losing 100 games a year, and I think they had lost 100 games 3 years in a row. The city itself still kind of reeling from all the drug trials. There wasn't a whole lot of goodwill towards Pittsburgh Pirates. So that was it going in after the game into the locker room and then getting brought into Whitey Herzog's office, and Dal Maxville has us in there and says, we traded you to the Pirates. Well, if anybody that's had a pet snake knows, if you kill your pet snake, you're pretty devastated. And that's pretty much what it was at the time. We were going from one of the greatest organizations at the time to one of the organizations that was just really struggling. So, I mean, it was pretty tough. Came out of the locker room and, you know, told my wife and kind of head down. And by the same token, you got to realize that you're a professional. These things happen. It's out of your control. And so Andy and I talked to each other, and so we want to make a good impression and get there early. We decide we're going to leave St. Pete. I'm going to pick him up about 6:30. So we're going to arrive in Bradenton about 7:15, you know, make sure that we get everything taken care of. Well, unfortunately, the old Skyway was a 2-lane road. There was an accident on it. We ended up pulling in at about 11:30 in the morning. So the impression that we were trying to make was the exact impression that we didn't want to make, you know, to where, you know, here we're just going to show up when we want, blah, blah, blah. But Jim Leland, you know, we told him what happened. Obviously understood. He came in and he offered me his jersey number 10, because that's the number I had worn with the Phillies and the Cardinals. And I looked and saw it on his body, and I go, I am not taking the manager's number. I don't know if this is a test or what it is, but, you know, still to this day, you know, I don't know if Jim was testing me or actually if he wanted me to have the jersey number, but, you know, I wasn't about, you know, to be like that. But, you know, ultimately, you know, it was devastating at first, but you got to be professional about it and end up being really, I think Andy would collaborate to where made an impression on the whole ball club.
How good was Barry Bonds at that, during that stage of his career when you were with him?
Well, you know what, after that particular moment, you know, Barry was a very good offensive player. I think Bill Verdon woke up something in Barry defensively, and Barry became the very best defensive left fielder. So, you know, it was something that happened, whether that was the one thing that got Barry going, or it was something shortly thereafter. And I don't believe it's a coincidence, but that particular moment, you know, Barry turned himself into the very best player.
All right. I want to fast forward to 92, the ninth inning. And you probably know this. This story makes Pirates fans cry to this day. But the bases are loaded. I want to get your perspective, because this is we've heard Sid Bream's perspective on this many times. Bases are loaded. Francisco Cabrera comes up, and you're up 2-1, Stan Belinda pitching. What did you know about Francisco Cabrera? You're the catcher. Catchers know something about everybody, you know, leaders of the team. What did you know about Francisco coming into that at bat?
Well, it just basically the one thing, because there wasn't a lot of history on him, but the one thing that we knew is he could hit a fastball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we started him off with a breaking ball that missed and another breaking ball that missed. So now we, you know, now we're kind of playing into his game.
Yep.
He knows he's getting a fastball. You know, he rips one foul, and then the next pitch he gets his base hit. So, you know, something that, you know, in hindsight, you know, do you do anything different? Nah. You know what the book on him was? He couldn't handle the breaking ball.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how we went at him to start with.
And so it's 2-0, and it changes the whole complexion of the at-bat, right? You limited some of the things Stan Belinda could do probably in that situation, right?
Well, there's no chance that we can throw another breaking ball after missing with the first two. So we got to come in with the fastball. And now it's 2-1. And it's still to this point where you don't want to go three balls, you know, especially with the bases loaded. With a base open, maybe that changes things. But with the bases loaded, all right, hey, look, you know, we got to come with Stan's best pitch. You know, his fastball, even though that's Cabrera's his strength. So it's kind of strength against strength. And the hitter won that time.
Okay. I'm looking forward to this as much as any question I could possibly ask you, because the ball's hit to left field. You're the catcher. You see everything. You've got the entire panoramic view of the ball going to Barry. You see Sid around third. The catcher we saw it on TV. Everybody's seen it on TV in the video a thousand times. You're watching this play out live. Mike, what did you see? What are you thinking? Sid's rounding third. You see where Barry's got the ball. You see the position he's at. What is going through your mind for a 3 to 5 second period here?
Well, I mean, it's just, you kind of revert back to your training. You know, it just, you know, don't get ahead of yourself, you know, and you know, you as a catcher, you know, obviously we're not going to, you know, relay the ball. We're not going to be able to get Sit out if, you know, the ball has to come from Barry right to me, you know. So that's one of the equations that gets thrown out. You know, it's got to be Barry to me or we don't have a chance. So that you know, that makes your decision making a little bit easier. I knew Sid got a great jump off of second base. We knew that, you know, he doesn't run as well as, you know, a lot of guys, but still getting that good jump was, you know, the reason, you know, why he was called safe. I'm not saying he was safe.
Let's save that for a second. But you're seeing Sid. Every player, every baseball player knows I've got a shot at this or I don't. You're seeing where Sid is. You're seeing where Barry is. Are you thinking you're going to get him or are you thinking we're in trouble here?
I actually thought that it was going to be close, that we didn't have a chance. That's
okay,
how good of a jump that Sid got off of second base.
So you thought, you know, you see him rounding third, and are you thinking he's going to score?
Yeah, it's you know, there's a inner clock, you know, in your mind,
mm-hmm.
that's this ticking, and the ticking is taking too long,
mm-hmm.
for me. And it's like, well, you obviously you don't give up on anything, but, you know, at the same token, it's like click, click, Okay, now we're getting close to the bomb to go off here. You know, something needs to happen. So, you know, then the ball comes in. You know, I catch it. I dive back. And then the debate starts.
So the ball's up the first baseline a little bit. You dive back. Is it your contention, 30 years later, that you got him out?
Well, here's my deal. When you bent leg slide, your top foot, your lead foot is off the ground. It can't be digging into the ground or your spikes, you'll break an ankle. Going into any of the bases, that's easy. Going in second, going in third, because they're above ground.
Elevated, right.
Home plate's level with the ground. So my contention is I dove back. I got his back leg before his back leg hit home plate.
And with the front foot still up, you think the front foot was still up?
That's my contention.
All right, so all these years later, Mike LaValliere claims that Sid Bream was out. Good explanation there on the bent leg slide. And if you picture that in baseball, you can go Google images. Yeah, if your bottom leg is underneath and it's bent and your top leg is it's going to be up in the air. And Spanky claims that he got the back leg before the foot came down and tagged the plate. Hopefully you enjoyed that trip down memory lane with Mike LaValliere. He was tremendous when I caught up with him a while back, and I'm pretty sure that's the first time we've ever played it on this show, so hopefully everybody enjoyed that. Do want to thank our presenting sponsor each and every day, J.M. Boswell's. If you're without a great cigar for you and your friends, head on over to J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. They're open 9 till 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 till 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe. Hopefully everybody enjoyed our great baseball discussions this week. Proclaim this baseball. We talked about nothing else this week other than baseball. That was great. I might have another theme next week. We'll see. Maybe we go to college football. Maybe we go to the NFL. We will see. Everybody enjoy your weekend. If you want to head on over to Centennial Field to catch the Little Leaguers in action at the Park Home Altoona Baseball Classic, please do so, or you can tune in right here on 96.1 Hank FM with Dave Shannon and Lou Seidel calling all the action. Talk to you Monday.
Exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring.